Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hi, Sama, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's the day after the eclipse 2024. And sadly, even though I was in the path of totality, we had so many clouds that I couldn't see the sun.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I was so disappointed. I mean, like, I didn't cry, but I was so disappointed. It did get dark. It was very eerie, but yeah. Anyway, so yeah, there's another one in 2026, but you have to travel. It's not in the United States. So I'm like, I have to find out where it is. Maybe WordCamp Europe or WordCamp Asia.
That would be awesome planning. Like, where is it? Let's go. Let's make WordCamp Europe at that time. And that will be the activity of the day, you know, like, just like.
That we could have the group photo, like during the eclipse of the eclipse, which, I mean, there's opportunities. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. If someone hears, please, like, think about it for 2026. Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to do a little more research because all I saw was the year, but I want to find out where it is. And, like, if we can all make it a work trip to be there, that's not a bad thing, right?
Not at all. I totally love the idea.
Oh, moving on to today's topic. I did send you this article yesterday, and I know you've done some research. I've put a lot of thought into it as well. But here in the United States, in California, they are trying to pass a law that would make it illegal for your supervisor, your boss, your company to contact you outside of your contracted working hours. It would only apply to salaried employees, because hourly employees are already covered by that. When they're working, when they're not, they're not. So that's the thought anyway in California. And it's actually coming up with a lot of opposition from people like the Chamber of Commerce, saying that it would harm startups and companies that are bootstrapping at the beginning and really trying to make things work by only allowing people to be contacted outside of certain hours, with the exception of emergencies. Was one of the caveats was emergencies. I can't remember what the other one was, but you know, that there are very few times when your supervisor, your boss, your company, however they've worded it, would be allowed to reach out to you outside of your working hours. And I really have thought a lot about that, because you and I discussed this, and I'll let you talk for yourself, but I hate notifications. I have to clear them, right? Like, if I see little numbers on my phone, or I see that little Slack notification, and you know, on my message or whatever that toolbar is on my phone, on my computer, I'm like, what is it? Who is it? What do they want? What do they need? And I'm like, I have to open it and see. And so sometimes I'll look at it and then forget to go back. So I take screenshots and I do things now that I won't forget to respond to people. But I can understand from the perspective of somebody who is like me and wants to know what's happening all the time and be responsive, and was raised in a culture of when somebody needs something, you say yes, you do it, you find a way to do it, and it doesn't matter what time it is, because my father was a workaholic, and there's just a whole, I have a history of all of these things. But so I can see how that would be helpful in some respects. I do understand on the other side of things, like, if you are a startup and you are a kind of company, it's that, I don't know, it's hard. It's one of those hard things. But I also want to talk a little bit about boundary setting. And especially, I think, as underrepresented folks, for especially women, I would say, right, we're raised to respond, and what that means to us to have off hours. So what are your thoughts? Let's just kick it off.
First, I'm really happy that I hope it's going to be like the law that nobody can call you after working hours in California, and then hope it's all around the world. I think it's really important to respect boundaries. And of course, there's going to be force majeure, there's going to be emergency. That will be okay to reach out. But also, it protects a lot of the employees from burnout and have this life work balance, and then they become more productive. But it's so funny because in Europe, and I know in France and Spain and Italy and Portugal, there will be a fine if your boss texts you or call you after working hours. And if it's not force majeure and emergency, it has to be a real, real emergency. I must confess, I'm the same like you. I open my Slack even before I go to bed. I just check Slack if there's something, and I check the email. But it's so crazy because, like, the culture also I'm coming from, we don't say no. It's forbidden to say no. Like, if someone knocking your door at 2 a.m. in the morning ask for help, you will say yes. Your boss give you extra task, like, you say yes. You don't have this freedom to say, like, okay, no, my plate is full. I want to focus on my hand and I don't want extra. But also from underrepresented group as women or as colored person, it's so difficult to say no because you want to show your worth yourself. You want to show that, okay, I deserve to be here. I'm smart and I can give more. And also at the same time, you're scared to miss out a promotion or a chance to grow in the company. And I understand most of the people coming out in Europe, like, they're not European, they're coming from outside of Europe. All of us have the same issue, believe me. Like, we cannot say no. Like, if I need to work extra 2 hours today, yes, fine, I will be okay. And sometimes I look to my other colleagues, like maybe they work in force majeure, but they respect the time. Me, like, okay, give me more tasks, give me more things. But I think it's more social aspect and also the pressure that you want to show that you're equal, that you deserve to be in this job, and then you can give more. And also the insecurity, not but I mean it by the insecurity that when you start working in a new country, a new culture, you feel that you are the ambassador of your own culture and your own country, and you want to show the best, that you can work hard, that you can give more. And that's time that you can see a lot of underrepresented group. They always work hard. They have huge issues saying, no, I don't want to work this extra task, or no, this is my weekend. I want to have a full relaxed weekend.
I think that's true. I think there's some information like the wage gap that we have between women and men, between underrepresented folks across the board. It's almost like, well, if I'm getting paid 30% or 20% more, less, I mean, I have to work 20% more to show that I'm valued at the same as somebody who, a white man, for example, that has the same role. And so I think there's some of that is like to show your value. Like, if I'm only making 78 cents on the dollar as a woman here in the United States, do I have to work, 22% more to show that I'm worth the full dollar kind of thing? I think that that has a lot to do with it. But I also think, traditionally, as women especially, I was raised, I mean, I'm a lot older than you, but I was raised in a time where my guidance counselor told me not even to go to college. I should focus on finding a husband. And I
Oh
was
my
in
God.
the top 20% of my class when I graduated out of over 300 people, So like there was no reason for me not to go to college and to learn a trade or a career that I would love, And so like that's how I was raised, and that, my father, when he got home from work at 5:30, there better be dinner on the table, and my mother had better had made from scratch, those kinds of things. So I was raised in that environment that you didn't say no. Like you said, there's environments, there's cultural expectations that you don't say no to people who have authority over you, whether that's a supervisor, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, whoever it is, right? That you don't say no to that. But then also, like you said, maybe it's an opportunity for advancement. If I show, if I do these things and I do them well, will I get the recognition that I feel I deserve or that I'm hoping I deserve so that I can advance in my career also? There's a lot of layers to the conversation, whether it's just setting a boundary or not. And I think that cultural aspect comes into play very much so when you pick the whole thing.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm speaking as a woman. It's I don't know if you heard the statistic. There was like a nice article I read a long time ago that men apply 60% when they match the qualification of the job. We women, we need to match 98, 100%. And I feel most of the time that we have to take that extra mile to show that we are qualified to get the job. Of course, I find the salary gap is the ridiculous things that can happen in 2024. Both of the people can do the same job. A lot of women raising kids, because that's the argument you go that he's responsible, he's the breadwinner for the family. But there's a lot of women are the breadwinner for their own family. And the pressure they put on yourself that you have to work extra, that you have to take from your own personal time and also your mental health and physical health to show that I'm here. I'm exist, I'm smart, and just notice me. Just I don't want to miss the chance to get promoted or to move forward in my career. It's a lot of pressure.
It really is. Can I tell you one of the tools that I have created for myself so that
Definitely.
I turned off the sounds and notifications for like Slack and for work email. And then I have I have an iPhone. You can have set up different screens on whatever smartphone. All of my work apps are on the second page.
Right.
So I don't see the notifications. And because I turned the sounds and like the screen, whatever, I have to want to see them. So if it's my weekend, I'm not seeing a sign that somebody's messaged me, for example. I'm not seeing that there's email there. And that's helped me a lot. Now, do I sometimes get curious and go look anyway? Yeah, of course I do. Because not just work Slack, but like I have 20 different Slacks, like I'm sure most people do, because I'm involved with PostStatus and I'm involved with, you and I talk, I'm a guest on Yoast. So you and I have conversations. And like all of the other projects that I'm involved with and the cities that I've spoken at, and those are in my Slack. So sometimes I just go and look out of curiosity. Mostly boredom, if I'm being honest. Like I'm watching a movie that's not fun, and I'm too lazy to go. Like let's just agree that it takes three times the length of a movie to find a movie to watch. Like you can be scrolling for an hour or more till you find
Definitely.
the movie that you want to watch. So I'm always like multitasking because I just can't sit and watch. But anyway, but one of my tips is to remove it from your line of vision. So if you can put it on the second page, so I discovered that or created that for myself when I was freelancing and I was on vacation and I didn't want to be checking my phone. So I moved everything to page two on my phone so that I wasn't getting those visual stimulations to want to go and look at my email and want to go and look at Slack and look at all of those different ways that people might notify me. So that was one of the ways that I started to create a boundary for myself. Now, do people still have my phone number to text me? Yes. Are there WhatsApp and all of these other places people can get in touch with me? Yes. But the people I've worked for in the past and currently don't contact us that way. It's all in Slack. So unless there's an emergency, unless somebody is wishing me well because I'm going on vacation or I'm having a surgery or whatever, they're not messaging me directly, which is a good thing. But not everybody has that.
That will be awesome. I think even if me, I put it in the second or third like page, I think it will scream to me emotionally, come see me. I once I went to vacation last year, I said I'm gonna take 3 weeks vacation. I went with my husband to Tanzania. I did something I was proud of myself. I deleted Slack completely.
Good
After
for
2 days, I
you.
felt there's something missing. I start checking my email notification.
You're like shaking. Where's my Slack notifications? I'm going through
Exactly.
Slack withdrawal. Yes, I understand.
And it's funny while you're saying while you're watching a movie, me sometimes when I'm watching a movie, I open like my Mac and then I start looking. Is there something I can do at work? And then I try to hide it. Like I don't want to Slack someone at 9 p.m. because that's like it's your night, it's your weekend. Or I just
Right.
open like I do let me check 10 sentences in the polyglot team. Let's read me review. Let me translate something to ease the brain, which is really like you
So
don't have to do
bad.
I don't know. It's funny. Me, I try now. I'm really proud of myself. I start to say a little bit no to a lot of things, like if I'm overloaded. But also, I'm still working removing the guilt. If someone asks me to help them, I have to help them. Like I can't. Like this is in me, and especially if I'm something passionate about it, I can just can weekend at night. I don't mind with it. But yeah, but I think it should be. To take care a little bit about our mental health, but that's something gonna take very long trying and a lot of inventing methods. But yeah, no, but you're strong. Me, I mean, I will see Slack all the day. Like Slack, I use Slack more than WhatsApp, more than X, more than anything. So yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I've added some Slack channels for you and I to be able to communicate better. Like I didn't, and like I realized I was a guest on the Yoast Slack channel.
Yeah.
Very limited, right? I only have access to like some people and then contributor day because I come and help you with contributor day. But that's when I realized after, I think it was last week where you said that like you check your Slack all the time and like you respond to that Slack. I was like, I'll put myself there. And it's not like I'm going to bug you, but then I'll know that you'll
No.
see it when you get a chance, you know? But
Yeah.
so like that's on my phone now too. So I
No,
can
but
message
also,
you.
but also for me, I like it. The Slack notification, like, didn't you know the voice? It gives me life. It gives me energy. When I hear it, me, I'm just like, yes. Let me. I will immediately start typing something. I don't know. It's but also sometimes I blame technology because we have access to our work from our phone. We don't need our Macs or laptops or anything now. Like. We're talking about Slack, like we use program at Yoast Help Scout, like everything in your phone, like, and that's sometimes like it's so difficult to put the barrier between your personal life and your work because like it's so easy to access information, and all the time there's something in you and on online, so you need to see it. What's going on? Let me check
Of
this.
course,
Let me
there
check.
is a difference between you wanting to see it and your supervisor requiring you to
Yeah,
act outside of
definitely.
time.
Yeah,
So, I
definitely.
mean, we do have to create our own personal boundaries, but then also, like, what is the legality? Should a company or should a state or a country or whatever be able to make that law that,
No.
you know, that you can't contact somebody outside of hours? And like I said, for hourly employees, it's pretty cut and dry. If they're not on the clock, if you do message them, then you have to pay them for the time that you message them because,
Definitely.
right? But for us that are salaried, and that's a lot of us in the WordPress and the tech space, a lot of us are salaried. People like, and also let's put this too, right? So we are a global community. So sometimes that message is coming from somebody in their workday, but it's not in your workday. So finding that balance is sometimes difficult for sure.
Yeah, flexibility, and I think sometimes. As you said, the time difference, it's super crazy. If you imagine if you live in the States or someone in Asia, then this 10 to 12 to 14 hours and can this is like and can take very long. If you send an email, you need a quick reply. So, but also, of course, if your boss called you, compensate. If you don't want to pay the person, just compensate them the next working day. They can leave work earlier. Of course, I believe there's always a force majeure. There's something that once in a while that you can work a little bit extra or to pick up work after working hours. But I think maybe some people abuse it, some managers or leaders that abuse it, that they expect everyone to answer. It's a small or big, they need to do it. But the law, I was reading it, there was going to be like a fine, $100 if they communicate. I think that will be interesting to see how people react to it. And it's, but I find it weird. How are you going to complain about your boss? And then the next day you're going to say, hi, boss. It's like, I found it, yeah, that's a
Yeah,
bit challenging.
which is right. So that like employee rights are something that is, there's such a blurry line sometimes between what's allowed and isn't, which also, you know, you talk about emergency force majeure. What constitutes an emergency? Like your boss might think it's
Yeah.
emergency, and you're like, this could have waited till tomorrow. It
Yeah.
could have waited, right? Kind of thing. And you know, for Slack, for example, if I, because we work all over the world and time zones are different, somebody messages me in Slack, I don't see it as something that has to be done right away unless they say it has to be done by a certain deadline or
Yeah.
whatever, right? Text messages is a little bit different. So, like if somebody texts you or calls you or WhatsApp or whatever it is, then it's like, well, why, how is this an emergency? Is it an emergency? All of those kinds of things have to come into play. Slack is asynchronous. It should be. Most
Yeah.
companies should think of Slack as asynchronous, especially if they, cover multiple time zones. And I work in a global company that I think there's somebody in any time zone. So makes it a little bit more challenging sometimes. But
Yeah.
also, how am I empowered to set those boundaries? And am I empowered? Where I work, I am 100% empowered. If somebody messages me at night, I'm allowed to say, I'll check that tomorrow, kind of thing. And unless it's like the site is down, we need to, whatever. Sometimes there are
Yeah.
extenuating circumstances, of course. Not to be fair. Nothing. No sites at Liquidweb are ever my responsibility to fix. That's not my love. We never have marketing emergencies, for example, but we can fix that tomorrow. But there are times when something might be technically considered an emergency. But it's hard to think in a tech company what that emergency might actually be, because it
It's
almost
yeah.
always could wait, you know?
Yeah, that is the thing, is like, what do you identify as emergency? Like, for me, I'm really passionate about whatever you do, and everything for me, I consider it need to be done yesterday. I need to finish it now. But if they can wait for 1, 2, 3, 1 week, it's fine. It's not the end of the world. But I think sometimes also to maybe the character of the manager or the leader, or that's what he prioritize the job. And I think maybe a little bit of pressure on people and the underrepresentative group, that the expectation that they have to prioritize their work over their personal life. But at the end, it's always like, yeah, what is emergency? Like, for me, I don't know. I consider everything emergency. That's something else I should work on. Everything is emergency at work. Yeah, immediately, like, yeah.
And for me,
But
nothing is an emergency.
me, like, I'm gonna be a little bit crazy. Me, like, I always ask for feedback. If I don't get it, I always like tag people. I'm the naggy person. But also, I also make a joke, like, I know where you live. I can come by to ask for feedback. I never did it. I promise I will never do it to anyone. But as a joke, like, I just, yeah. No.
So I don't know that there is a definitive answer, but I think that
Yeah.
if you it's harder for us when you're when you're in an underrepresented group to assert your boundaries and your rights.
Yeah.
It's harder, when you are the woman. I'm speaking from my perspective, right? I'm not a person of color, but a woman or a disabled person from my perspective to say, I can't, I won't do those things
Yeah.
until tomorrow, right? So, and that's, like I said, it's cultural, it's familial. Like, that's how my family was growing up, whether that was our culture or not, that was our culture. And
Yeah.
so the boundaries are very much different. In 2016, I don't think you can see, there's right over this shoulder, the tiny little top of that little thing right there.
Yeah.
That's an award that I got, Up and Coming Businesswoman of the Year in here in
Oh.
Rochester. And I gave a speech, and I still have, to this day, I've never listened to it. I wrote it, but I've never actually, I have it on my phone, but I've never gone back and listened to it. So I'm going to put it out on my YouTube channel so that if anybody does want to hear, you can hear it. But in the speech, I talked about the fact, it was about wage gap that year, the whole conference. Excuse me. I talked about the fact that I was once hired for a job as registrar of a business school, a top 30 business school here in the United States. And when I took the job, the fellow that it was a man, a white man that had the job before me, when I took the job, he had left a lot of things in the cabinet. So in my first couple of weeks, I would like search through things in the cabinets, decide what I needed to keep, what I could throw away. And he had left his pay stub so I could see
Oh.
how much money he had been making in that job. And when I took the job, I successfully negotiated a salary that was actually higher than the man who held the job prior to me. And that is very unusual for women in our space at all. or even in
Good job.
education,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so I talked about that, and so I have always had an attitude of I can, I will, and not that I don't hit roadblocks. There are brick walls everywhere for us,
Yes.
and not just in technology, but in life, right? But if I could find a way to climb it or find a way to get over it. But I did talk about that in there and how we can do it. We can successfully negotiate for ourselves. We can show who we are and that we have the ability to set boundaries, to accomplish, to be what that job description requires of us without having to break ourselves to go above and beyond so much that now we actually aren't earning that salary
Yeah.
by an hourly standard because we're working 60 hours. I'm knocking things down, 60 hours instead of 40 or whatever. So that your hourly rate, if you were to calculate it out, is still lower, right? So even if you make a higher salary. So I guess the bottom line for me is if you can set those boundaries, you don't have to be a bitch about it, if you will. You don't have to be a
Yeah.
negative, horrible
Yeah.
person, like,
Yeah.
nope, I won't. But you can do it in a way that actually that absolutely allows you to have personhood, allows you to have autonomy, and still sets a boundary in a positive way. And if you do that, you're actually helping other those around you to be able to do that too.
Yeah, and I think it's explaining also why you're saying no. Like, of course, you don't have to give explanation for everyone in your life, but like, say I'm busy or it's another meeting or it's my weekend. I just want to add one thing. It's like also to tell people it's okay to say no. It is like you're already reaching a lot in your life, and especially people underrepresented group in WordPress and tech and all around the world. It's okay to say no, and that it's never been in the dictionary of anyone from underrepresented group. It's never there. Like, it's okay to say no. It's okay to take care about yourself first, and mental health and physical, and then you can do whatever you want. Yeah.
I understand. And remember that the fear of being fired because you say no should be at the
Yeah.
bottom of how you think about things. Because no, if you're doing a good job, nobody wants to have to go through the trouble of replacing you.
Yeah.
You know, they
It's
really don't. They don't want to have to hire somebody new. They don't want to have to train somebody new. They want to work with you to make sure that you're happy so that you continue working and that you can work things out. So don't let the fear of being fired make you answer those calls and not have boundaries. Oh, yeah. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Okay.
I have some ideas for future conversations, but we'll discuss those offline. So if you're
Yeah.
listening, you'll have to tune in again next week to see what we'll be talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Sama.
So, well, thank you, and have a lovely evening, day, morning, anyone, anytime they listen to us
Wherever
or
you
they
are,
see
that's
us.
right.
Yeah. Okay.
Very
Bye.
good. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye. See you next week. Bye.
If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week. If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.